All right. So you want to, shall we open the meeting?
Whenever you're ready.
So we'll open the Zoom meeting, select board meeting of December 21st. The first order of business is to identify the callers. And so I'm Brian DeVries. Let's see. We have Hilma Sumner, Pat McGann, Sue Lively, and Bob McGann.
The phone number is Gene Garland.
Gene Garland?
Yes.
That's the 125 number?
Yes.
Okay. So the first, I'm assuming that Robin is not going to make it because of her situation.
Probably not. She sent me a text at 5:42, and her mother had not been seen yet.
Okay. So we should review the agenda. Are you good with it, Sue?
Yeah, Hilma did send us some minutes today for November 9th, which was not put on the agenda. Are we going to push those off? Or?
I haven't seen them yet. So there was a set of minutes that came in as I was leaving.
As you were headed out to your other meeting, probably.
Okay, yeah, I got them. I don't see any reason we couldn't review them if we have the time.
I didn't find anything.
All right, so I entertain a motion to approve the minutes of November 9th as submitted.
I'll move.
Second, any discussions? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye. So we have a public comment period if anybody's interested. I don't hear any takers. We have the finance committee will be meeting with us at 6:30, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one of the things we could do, I suppose, is look at the some of the stuff that came in the mail, like the Northeast IT. Hilma, do you want to elaborate on that?
Well, sure, I can do that. Last Thursday, our two main contact people, Sean Weaver and Doug Sudnick, came and met with me to do what their company calls an annual review, and just to kind of recap like the work that's been done over the past year, and which, you know, for the town of Heath, it was a lot. We've come a long ways, and yeah, they acknowledged that. And in terms of like initial and essential like upgrades, everything is complete except for one last piece, and the one last piece is Alice may say this isn't the correct terminology, but I want to say it's to migrate the Patriot software onto her new computer, and onto the town's central server that we have. And in order to do that, we need evidently more hard drive, like more memory space, which is the first item in the quote. There's also some special licensing that has to be purchased from Microsoft. And so the cost for the whole thing is what you see in front of you, $1,301.
Yeah.
Now, all of that is basically required, again, in order to do the migration. The assessors have another piece of it, which is like Patriot's charge for everything, which is like $1,800, but that's like totally separate. This would be Northeast IT's part of the work. And Sean said, like, if you folks are willing to accept this tonight or approve it, he will go ahead. These prices are only guaranteed through the end of this year.
Okay.
And from what, I mean, he said it's weird, like it's never announced too far in advance, so they have no idea, but he said it's not going to be any cheaper.
Yeah. Well, it's a modest amount, I think. And where would we take that from?
That's a good question. I am not sure if there's enough in, like, say, the selectman's operating expense. There's definitely not enough in technical support. No, we might have to put in for a transfer from the Finance Committee Reserve Fund to technical support.
Well, the Finance Committee is going to be here at 6:30, and they may have the updated reports on what's in the account. Mm-hmm. Do you have that? I would be willing to entertain a motion to approve it pending finding a source for the funding, if that's doable.
Well, yeah, I mean, what can I say? This is kind of something we don't have an option where we, the town, the assessors, are really up against the wall. And it's something that has to get done. And it's like, now that the tax rate's set, this is kind of like the right time of year.
Yeah.
To happen.
So do you want a motion that we just accept the, that we agree to pay this price, or do you want something attached to that saying pending funding?
We can't sign contracts unless we have money appropriated, but I think we can approve this agreement pending the funding source, identifying a funding source.
I'll make the motion. So move.
Okay, and I'll second that. Hilma, do you have anything to add to that? Or?
No, I don't.
Okay. So how do we go about determining the funding? Does that have to be approved by the select board? No, okay.
You just did, well, you sort of just did. I guess if you also are approving that between myself and the accountant.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It will be paid for from an appropriate funding source.
Okay.
So
that takes care of the that will they will take care of where it comes from. We just have to approve that they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay.
All in favor.
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye. All right. Was there anything about COVID that we should talk about other than the fact that 73% of the cases are now Omicron?
No, other than the town of Heath has, in one sense, and at least in terms of mask protocol, Heath has kind of stayed ahead of things because the latest advisory or whatever recommendation that's coming out is masks in all buildings.
Yeah.
So basically, that's not too technical, but
a change. We would hear something from the Board of Health.
Correct.
Before you came on, Brian, Jean had told us that the town of Heath had received 90 test kits and the Board of Health had met to determine how those would be dispersed. And they have a plan for that.
Okay.
They started with the food pantry and then they're going to the homebound and elderly. And then if there's anything left, they'd make them available to people with kids at Hallamont.
Okay. There's not a lot of test kits for 700 people, you know.
No.
But
no, the way he explained it, it sounded like some of the small towns just got 90 kits, and it didn't matter if you had 100 people or 700 people in town, you got the same amount. He's here if you have a question for him.
No, I mean, we'll just have to sit tight until they ramp up the production and availability. Berniston was talking about that too when I was at their meeting, but they got a lot more than 90.
Hmm.
Well, is there anything quick, Helma, for a couple of minutes?
Well, I guess I can do the next item on other business, which about relocation of offices. It looks like that will not happen until the beginning of January, just because of like Betty's work getting the tax bills processed and out, and the treasurer is going to be out next week.
Okay.
So.
And when did you expect that the server would get swapped out? The what we just voted on?
That's a good question. It may be January 4th. And the reason I say that is because the CJIS with the police department, they're coming Tuesday, January 4th to move that equipment for the police office. There also has to be a Northeast IT technician on site to help with part of the reinstallation.
Yeah.
So if Northeast IT has everything they need, they may do the server piece the same day.
Okay. Well, we're at 6:30 now, so the Finance Committee can open their meeting and we can proceed with our joint meeting.
Tom, you're muted, Tom.
Yeah. There you go.
We can call our meeting to order at 6:31. And members present, looks like Alice is, and Will Emmett are not yet here, but we got a quorum so we can start.
Okay, this is our first meeting with the of the season with the Finance Committee to kick off the budget planning process for the upcoming annual town meeting. And I know, Tom, that you populated the budget in previous when you were serving on the board, and that was taken over when you stepped down by the town coordinator. And I assume that we would, or that Hilma would produce a rough budget for you to review. But anyway, I'd like to hear how you see proceeding on this.
Well, we talked a little bit about it at our last meeting, and Alice drafted a letter that we'd like to have go out with a package of information that Hilma usually sends. Hilma mentioned that she would be sending that out to all of the department heads. I'm not sure when. And there was a couple other revisions, I think, that to Alice's letter that we might want to include in terms of, you know, how the information will flow from the department heads down to the Finance Committee. I think that, you know, I think it'd be a good idea to let them go. All the documentation can go through Hilma, and then she could forward that to the board, and then we can plan our meetings with the department heads. And but I think it is kind of important that or I would think the select board would want to be at least involved in what's happening, when and where.
Sure.
So I think that's one of the first things we have to kind of do is figure out the timing of when we're going to start with the hearings with the department heads. And then come up with a calendar for that, for those meetings. And then whether the select board wants to meet at the same time when we have our meetings with the department heads, that's something that we need to know.
Yeah, it probably would be a good idea because there are some, Robin has been in touch with the highway department more than the rest of us, and she would probably know things that would be relevant to the conversation. I don't think we'd have to meet with every group, but I think that the highway department is probably the biggest budget issue. And Robin may weigh in on this too later, but I would just assume that we would want with the highway, with Jeff and you,
yeah,
to discuss the highway budget. There are some big things like, you know, we really need to do something about the salt shed. And, we should be talking about how to get that going. and what our options are. We do have some information.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm making a note here of, that needs to be dealt with. I don't know where we'll get the funds from for it, whether we get some of that, the COVID money that hasn't been released. I'm not sure yet. If we could use some of that, or, and then there was also a discussion of kind of the money that the broadband has from the town's finances.
Yeah.
Whether we can swap those around or not, I don't know yet. I don't know. Maybe you guys have some info on that.
I guess there are possibilities like the loans from the Department of Agriculture too that we could consider for the long term. Mm-hmm. But we need to look at our overall financial, what our borrowing capacity is and all that. So,
when does the treasurer and the accountant come into the early stages of the planning? How do they participate in that? You're shaking your head, Hilma. Does that mean they don't?
That means they don't, other than as individual departments submit their part of the budget line items. And the treasurer is responsible for handling like all the say amount of loan repayments, health insurance. She's got a lot of line items that she gathers the numbers for the coming year, and we'll get all those. Okay.
But they don't meet with the finance committee or the select board to kind of give us a summary or an update on where we stand financially for the year and where they see, where they might have noted problems in the budget?
Historically, I don't believe they have.
Okay.
I believe the select board and finance committee have gone by the expense reports.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to understand the process a little bit.
We have addressed questions of borrowing with the treasurer, I know in the past, like how do we do it? And, what are the best ways to finance something?
Well, the other one of the other kind of important dates is the when are we planning to that we actually start the budget review planning? I think the Hilma, you sent out the important dates earlier today, and we have February 1st start budgeting review and planning on February 1st. I was almost thinking we ought to be starting that back in January, once the budget starts coming in. You've got February, January 26th as the 23 budgets due. That means they would come to you on that date. I guess I was wondering when we get that started, really in the first part of January, where the budgets can come in. And then maybe they can send, will they be able to send them in earlier than this, or this is the—
The pattern that I have seen is that departments will send them in over like the course of the month. let's say the month of January.
Yeah.
Because I intend to send out the budget worksheets to departments beginning next week. Okay. I'm about a month to prepare them. You know, there may be always some exceptions, like for example, you know, the treasurer may not have all the figures in from the different outside agencies that she needs. But basically, if we're talking about in-house, you know, the target is to get them in by the end of the January, let's just say.
Yeah.
But some folks will might email me the next day after they get their budget worksheet and just say, I just want a level fund. Other ones like the highway department, you know, it takes Jeff a while to kind of study his accounts and pull proposed budget numbers together. So it varies. I guess the thought is, generally, if you start doing any kind of specific budget reviews before the proposed budgets are due, it's going to be more piecemeal than it perhaps needs to be, even okay. to start with.
So then we would wait. We're really going to then just kind of wait to see for any of the meetings anyways, until after the due date, that we would then start the actual meetings with the department heads and the board of selectmen.
That would be my recommendation, but it's certainly not my decision.
Yeah. Well, we can work that out. But the other thing that comes to mind in this, and I think that, anyways, is the who does the updating for the budget itself. Is that something they want the finance committee to do, or is that
that's Helma's call, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I want to say I do what I'm told. I do.
Yeah. Well, generally, for the last few years, Helma has roughed the budget out, and then the finance committee has reviewed it and made, you know, comments. Or there's no reason that you couldn't have your own copy of it for playing with if you want. But I think having Helma has more access to she's there every single day, and the people are coming and going, and she has more of a point source for information. So I think it's probably better if she's the one that has overall responsibility for maintaining that spreadsheet. One thing that occurs to me is that we have all this funding that is sort of nebulous, like the ARPA funding, and I think didn't we close out the other program? Whatever's out there, I think we should identify fairly early to say, you know, these are things we can do with this kind of funding without increasing the tax burden, you know, as much as possible. I have no idea how much we have available to us, but I think it was a substantial amount of money. And we need to identify what kind of things we want to do with that. And that is a source of this, or a point of discussion between the finance committee and the select board.
Yeah.
the appropriate use of that funding.
I don't think we have a listing of those funds, do we? Or is it coming up in that budget?
I can work on making up a list of those kind of funding. Alice has her hand up, I believe.
Oh, I see it now. Yeah. Alice, yeah, go ahead.
So I have a couple of things that I've just been putting out. One of the things that I was hoping to see is that we start breaking things out and have a department liaison for each, like have a member of the finance committee be a liaison for the different departments. Obviously, there's going to be multiples. And we had kind of looked at a proposed letter putting out with a hard deadline for budgets, not just I think we put it like, I don't know, February 4th, but we can back it up into January. And then if it's something such as your board or committee does not meet until say February 3rd or 5th or whatever, then you would submit an email to Tom as the chair stating the reason that you do not have time or a budget proposal at that point. And then the thought is, I mean, I think we should just do a deadline. You submit it and either we level fund you if that's the decision, or we give you nothing, because it takes some work to put this together. And I think all parties have to kind of be involved. And I think in the past, we've just kind of let people trickle in. I think it's important that we say to them, you know, this is a lot of time and work on all parties involved, the select board, the finance committee. And I really think if we do some deadlines on things and make people accountable, if they want money, you need to ask for it, and you need to, or at least come forward with a reason why you cannot, if you're waiting on numbers for something. Obviously, you know, there could be quotes and stuff that you don't have the answers to, but at least some communication between the departments and Tom as the chair. So I don't know, that's something I really wanted to see this year as a starting point, was a deadline that we set a deadline that we can put with our letter going to the department heads that would identify who our member would be for their liaison. We know that the highway department is going to have to meet with us. And if we have kind of an idea of a proposed schedule moving forward, obviously we can put the highway department at the beginning and see where other things trickle in through January. But I would say there's no question we'll need to meet with Jeff, possibly with the library and different things. I don't think from an office standpoint I'm going to, but there could be fire department things that need to. So there will definitely be something beyond the highway department. Another quick thought that I had was either one of our Excel spreadsheet people who are really good at it on the finance committee doing a proposed cost of living increase of, you know, 1.5%, 2%, 2.5%, whatever, doing several of them. And to stop this minutia of nickeling and diming down to like 48 cents on the end of somebody's, I really think we need to, and I don't know where that all came from, but I really think it's important to start rounding numbers. You know, you don't go, okay, well, so-and-so is going to start his schedule on Thursday of the whatever. We're paid, almost all employees are paid on a biweekly schedule. Biweekly, you get paid 26 times throughout the course of it. With the accounting process that Dave uses, you're not getting a portion of a payroll attributed to, it's rounded out. So I really think that should be something we stop with. I think a year or two ago, maybe last year, Hilma, it was, well, we have to, there's so many days in the year and extra this and percentages. what a waste of time and money and effort from anybody involved in that. So I would just like to see a nice, okay, it's, you know, $20,649. We round it to $20,650, you know, and make it a nice, clean, neat process. And those pennies or dollars would go back into free cash. Or if there's an extra quarter of an hour or something, plus or minus, you're not going to a special town meeting if you calculate wrong, which then goes into town clerk fees and, you know, all the other things that have to. So that was my other big thing, was setting a rounding, and someone like Will or Bob McGann, and I only throw those two out because they've expressed their greatness at Excel, that they could work on like columns for all of our payroll and a defined percentage multiples. And that would give us an idea quickly what we'd be going for if we were going to do a cost of living raise.
One of the other things that we have to consider this year that wasn't so much the case last year is the, how we interface with broadband, the light plant finances are going to have some impact on our budget too. So some of it's a little bit confusing to me at this point. And I just think we need to be aware that we need to include that in our budget discussions, in our financial calculations. Because there's, well, like Tom mentioned earlier, there's the issue of the payback of the money that was borrowed from stabilization that needs to be accounted for. And there's various kinds of expenses that are happening as we go along that we, you know, like especially associated with the drops that may impact us somehow. So I'm not totally on top of that, but it's just something we have to, you know, we have
to. Broadband seems like another one that we need to, a big one that we need to meet with, not just highway. I mean,
Yeah.
The other big one I would wonder about is school, because that's a big chunk of our budget too.
Yeah,
and along with that, with the school, I sat in one of their budget meetings, and you know, they're looking at, I forget offhand, around 5%, possibly a 5% increase in the sorry, I just lost track of that. But it's
the assessment, are you talking about?
No, it's the you know, the salaries. The salaries have to go up based on the
contracts, maybe teachers' contracts.
Yeah, it's not that either. It'll come to me. I'm sorry. Anyways, there was an increase coming on, possibly coming, you know, for the budget there on the school committee up to around 5%. But the good thing is we all kind of agreed, or the budget committee all kind of agreed, to try to keep it under 2.5% or a maximum 2.5% increase on the school budget, which is kind of an annual event. But hopefully that'll be able to work out. But I was thinking, I was also looking on some of the important dates about, you know, like when we start the reviews with the annual employees. I mean, maybe we should also have an ending date. You know, we want to make sure we have all the budgets. Do you want to do? I see Norma saying no.
Sorry. Well, you're talking about employee reviews, right, Tom?
Well, I don't know. I was talking about just our performance reviews. Yeah. But also, we got a due date for when we want all the budgets to come in.
Yeah.
And then we're going to start on the budget reviews February 1. When do we want to have all those budget reviews done? By the end of February or beginning of March?
I think it would be really nice to have a deadline, not a week prior to annual town meeting. I think like on this important dates thing, it has a posting deadline for ATM and annual election. I'm not worried about the election, but the ATM. I guess I'm kind of in opposition to that. I'd like to see it sooner. I mean, I don't think the posting deadline, yes, there are certain things that can be presented to the town clerk for inclusion on the, if it's petitioned an article on, but I would really like to see the budget done, you know, by the second or third week in April. And I think if we have different people assigned to things, so it's not just some of this stuff we won't need. If we don't need to meet with groups and it's level funded, then that's just input the information, mark it done, and move along until we have the ones that we really don't. But I think waiting for things right to the bitter end doesn't instill trust in our townspeople. And it makes people think that we're kind of trying to snowball things under the rug. And I just think that we need to say, this is the deadline of what everything is going to be done. And we stick to it. And we say, okay, as of April 23rd, we'll say, we'll back it up a week from that. We are going to post the warrant or have it ready to be posted and have it done.
Brian, can I make a couple of comments?
Sure.
Okay, number one, what's written on here, the April 29th deadline, that's the legal deadline. Okay, that has nothing to do with when the select board and the finance committee want to see the budget done and the warrant posted.
Right, no, I understand that, but it's presented in a format that could be interpreted that way.
Well, that's why I'm explaining it. Okay, that's what that means. If you don't meet that deadline, you don't have a town meeting, is basically what it says.
I think the finance committee could come up with a schedule the way they would like to see this roll out, I think. And just, you know, do your own memo, put your own dates in. And yeah, if you want to assign liaisons, then just say, you know, choose them and assign them.
Okay.
But I guess collectively, I guess what I wanted was a joint effort or decision between the finance committee and the select board of a final date of when the warrant, the budget and warrant will be ready. Because I think having it, and again, what Hilma's saying, that deadline is if you don't, then you don't have a meeting. I mean, if you have it as
I'm
the 23rd.
I'm not disagreeing with you. Someone has to go first and make a suggestion, you know.
Okay, I suggest, I'm going to jump in here. And I know Alice came up with this because she and I had a conversation. We set a, or you folks set a deadline, April 15th. That gives you 2.5 months, basically after you start the budget review, which should be plenty of time to put it together. If you set the deadline for April 15th and aim for that, if for some reason it needs to stretch out to the 17th or the 18th, you've got a little bit of playroom, but aim for something. And it's kind of like, it doesn't matter. Put the calendar on the wall and shoot your dart. That's just my suggestion, but
April 15th is a Friday, so that works as a good end to the week.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the April 15th would be our deadline for all budget information to be complete.
In essence, for it to be ready for you guys to sign.
Mm-hmm.
On the following Tuesday, if
and anybody who needs an exception to that would have to request it. It would be possible that somebody might have some last minute figures they're waiting for that aren't available yet that will influence how they make their budget. So they could come to us and say, this is what we're waiting for. But otherwise, the deadline is April 15th. That makes sense.
I like it.
If I can also suggest, if Finance Committee wants to send out a letter, my suggestion is if the letter is finished so that it can go as an attachment when I send out the budget worksheets, I think it would be the most clear approach and the most organized for all the different departments rather, and even if you have who their liaison is going to be, I can put that in the email to each department head. So they're receiving one packet of information, essentially.
Hilma, on our proposed letter, we had a entry at the bottom that had a label or a handwritten thing as to who the person was and how to contact them via email if there was any questions. How do you see that fitting in with your individual budget? I mean, do you want us to figure out what departments and then we fill in and send each one to you?
Here's my immediate idea. Perhaps on the bottom of your letter, you could have just a master, whatever, and this is just an example. Alice is going to be the FinCom liaison for town clerk, accountant, treasurer, whatever, and have a list, and here's how to contact her. Perhaps so that essentially everybody's getting the same information. It's not so much individualized, but it's like, okay, I'm town coordinator, who is my liaison? And I have to find who it is, and that's who I need to contact.
So are you proposing a list of departments at the bottom and a name next to that at the bottom of a proposed letter?
That's my initial thought. I mean,
I know we were talking about meeting to, I have a good list of what departments, and we were going to then look at who would take what and break out. So it's just a matter of, it's going to be a long list of departments, and then trying to make it so that the name coordinates with the list of people. I just want it clear and concise is my big deal.
Well, you have five people, so you have the person's name and then whatever they're going to be the liaison for listed after them. It wouldn't have to be too complicated. But the other thing... Oh, go ahead, Tilma.
The other possibility, Alice, would be in the letter, you list the five FinCom members and the contact information for each of them. You say in the letter something about one of the FinCom members will serve as your liaison. And then if you provided me with like a master list, and in my email, I say, just put in a sentence, your liaison is Alice Wozniak. That would be another option.
That makes sense.
So one of the things I was wondering is, it seems to me like it might be important somewhere along the way to define what a liaison is supposed to be doing here. Not just what department they're doing it for, but the liaison, the individuals of the finance committee should kind of be in agreement on what their role is as a liaison.
To me, it would be your person and your contact person for the entire budget process, soup to nuts, from the time you get the letter to the time that the budget is approved. If you have any questions, you know, who do I submit stuff to? Who do I, you know, can we increase this budget line? Just a sounding board. And then that person would be like, okay, that's really something that needs to be discussed in a hearing. Or so at least there's a person to touch base to as to what your what the process is and how it's changing or evolving slightly. At least I hope. I do not want to be meeting the last week of the year before things are posted again. That was my end all be all of what I could, you know, how do we back this up and clean this up and get the wheels back on the bus? Because the last couple of years that I've sat on it, I haven't felt effective, and that makes me feel useless. And I don't want to sit on a board and feel useless. So,
yeah. Oh, well, I just want to make sure, I don't think it's something we have to decide here as a group, but I think that the finance committee, if you're going to appoint liaisons, you really need to talk about how you see that role as a group, how you see that role, so that you're all approaching it from the same way, so that Alice is not approaching it one way with her group, and then Will is going to his group, whoever that might be, and, you know, totally, a totally different focus and way of approaching things, and then you come together and your information doesn't fit. So it seems to me like that's an important role for the FinCom to define.
Yeah, and we can discuss that at our upcoming meeting. So we got time. So this is good. I think that information out there, and some of it's going to have to be added in as we go along. And it sounds like we have an understanding between the two committees. Ned or Will or Bob have any questions, comments?
Tom, I don't have questions. I was going to mention, I mean, there's been reference to, the past couple of years. I was just going to say that in previous letters, the term liaison, I don't think has been used, but there has been mention of a person on the finance committee to whom you could contact for questions. If you have some question about, filling out the budget request form. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, people would. I was that person at least 1 year, and there were two or three questions.
Yeah. So I think that's what we have to do is go back when we come back to our meeting and kind of put that out there, liaisons, and see. You've got the past, some past experience. And see how we can maybe match that in with moving forward with this whole budget program. Will?
Yeah, I like the idea of a uniform approach. I think so you're not comparing apples and oranges, when we go to the different departments. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, really does. Yeah. Okay. Did I see your hand, Bob?
No, I'm good with what's been said.
Are all the Hilma? You had some questions. Was it Hilma who had some questions on a couple of the dates on this paper that you had sent out? Were those resolved in our discussion?
Yeah, the you mean on the important dates paper?
Yeah, and you had said there were a couple of dates you thought might need some tweaking. I will just want to make sure we had we had discussed any of those changes that you thought they needed to consider.
Okay, well, this is, well, primarily this is the select board's decision, but the what I put in is March 25th, the last day to submit warrant articles. I don't know if you want that date to stand, that was, I believe, what it was last year.
So that would be like a special article for a new town truck or something. They would have to be submitted.
Truck. It applies to everybody, not just monetary things. It would apply for if the planning board has written new zoning bylaws or anything like that.
All right.
Citizens petitions. There has to be time for the select board to review it, and then there has to be time for it to go to town council for them to review it.
All right. I just wanted to be clear on what you meant. I was thinking more financial stuff, but it said anything. Okay.
It's anything. Yep. And if you don't think there's enough time, I mean, that's only, well, 2.5 weeks between March 25th and April 15th. If you don't think that's enough time, it can be an earlier date.
Worked okay last year?
Well, it worked okay last year with the April 29th posting. But now you're talking about hopefully aiming to post 14 days earlier.
Well, I think that's something that that's something I think the select board needs to set. I mean, in a lot of cases, the earlier is always better, but there's no reason. It's up to you. I mean, or not you, but the select board to work that out. We can work around it as best we can, and that's got to put a date on it somewhere at some point. I don't know if Robin had any specific. Did she have anything specific that she might have been going to bring up?
She sent me an email of notes, and basically she said, I want to work as a team with the finance committee on the budget. I do see the importance of letting the committee have a running start. And she very much will appreciate finance committee's recommendations, you know, as budget requests come in.
Yeah.
Has the finance committee discussed, I know last year, I don't understand it all, but I know last year you made some changes in the way the budget was, the line items were organized. And from the finance committee perspective, did you find that to be successful? Are you looking to do that again this year? Are you looking for more consolidation, do you know yet? Have you discussed it?
We did have some discussion about it, and they kind of compared it to what Coleraine was doing. And, but we didn't, at this point, we didn't say, I think we're going to use the same formula in terms of those articles were combined. I don't think we voted. We didn't take any votes on that. We just, we did discuss it. I don't know if this, Anyone else have a remembrance of that discussion about the Article 3 consolidations? I know that I thought it went well from what it, but.
Yeah, we didn't vote on it, but we certainly thought that the way it was done last year worked out well.
Yeah. And I don't know if we haven't really talked about it. Is there other things that should be consolidated? Excuse me.
I think there was one item that the accountant, one group of items at the end of the Article 3, so I'm thinking it's insurance or something that he said should be broken out for tracking purposes. I want to say it had to do with MediSui and or something to do with that, and it's how information that they have to keep so that they can report it from a governmental thing.
Mm.
But I think that was just that one item. But I think there was maybe a handful of other little things that we may look at. I mean, nothing significant. I thought it worked better. I thought it was a lot neater. I mean, just to be able to have a lot less than 164 line items on Mother's Day weekend every year. I thought it worked well.
Yeah. I was just going to say that this year, assuming that more or less the same format is used as last year, it should be easier to compare this year with the preceding year. Despite the pluses of last year, it was a bit hard to compare one year's numbers with the preceding one, but that shouldn't be the case this year.
I think the select board needs to get together a list of special projects earlier rather than later this year to see what kind of things we could accomplish with especially where we have stabilization monies or something like that could be applied. That we should also identify what's in each stabilization fund, what's it for, look at all the grants that are available, whatever sources of revenue we have other than taxes.
And piggybacking on that one, Brian, Article 3 should be our omni budget, which should be anything that if it's not expended rolls over to free cash, should be our internal transfers between accounts. And that special projects one, along with the preschool support, which we won't be looking at this year, should be their own separate article on the warrant because it could come from different funding sources. And that is a other fund because the money rolls over if it's not expended.
Well, I know the select board has other things to do tonight. Is there anything else from the finance committee or? I see one hand up. Was that Sue?
That's me. I just wondered if Alice wanted to tell us about the tax rate. She wanted to make a public announcement.
Why, sure.
I know it's just us to hear it, but
The official tax rate is $21.51. Down $1.01 from last year.
Right. Yeah. Good work.
Yeah.
So hopefully that should make budget season a little easier too.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
yeah, Hilma.
Well, did all of Finance Committee get the word that Hallmark Regional Study Team, as they're officially called, is going to be joining at 7:30, and actually part of what they're going to be discussing, since two of the members are Budge and Barbara, are school committee members, they're going to be talking about future capital costs that will be incurred at the Coleraine Elementary School, which will now share in. So there's a financial aspect to the appointment with them tonight, if you wanted to stay.
Can I ask for clarification on that statement as to future financial impact, how that relates to us? I think I may have missed something along the way.
Evidently, since Coleraine is now, he's designated elementary school, it's like we have.
That's what I missed. That's why I was, okay.
Oh, you missed that part, yes. Coleraine will be our, I guess as of July 1st, Coleraine will be Heath's elementary school.
Interesting.
So that means that we share.
Yeah.
That makes a lot more sense now.
So not all of Heath's kids will probably be going to Coleraine. Some of them will probably stay at Hallmark,
some will go to Rowe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, school choice kids will go wherever, but Heath's designated school will be Coleraine.
Will be Coleraine. Good.
Yeah.
Can I ask a quick question, I guess, in the midst of the budget process? Did I hear that there's going to be construction on Community Hall starting soon? Is that, where are we with that?
Stay tuned. I'm not going to talk about that now.
It's on the agenda
for later. It's on the agenda. I guess if I read the agenda, I would.
Well, it doesn't really specify that, but. But we'll be getting an update later.
Okay. I was just going to say, with the costs of fuel and oil and electricity, et cetera, I just, from a financial standpoint, I just questioned, you know, where we're at and where things are as far as whether we're heating it for one department at this point, because I believe it's just either the senior center and or the nurse. So from a financial standpoint, I was just curious. And if there was going to be construction, then that seemed like it could impede with heating costs and make things even more like just blowing heat out the windows. And I wanted to make sure that we weren't doing that.
Stay tuned.
Okay, well, as far as I can see, there are no more issues. If not, we could make a motion to adjourn for the Finance Committee.
I so move.
Is there a second? Will?
Second.
Okay, 2 seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
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 And no one's opposed, so that's it. Was unanimous. All right. That's
thank you.
We'll be in touch. Yeah. Okay. I might hang on just to see if there are that hall amount. Is that coming up right away?
Yeah.
7:30.
Yeah. 5 minutes.
So I'm going to just sit in on that for a little bit.
Brian?
Yes.
Are you looking for something to do for 5 minutes?
For 4 minutes, yes.
For 4 minutes?
We could, I suppose we could do green communities.
It's entirely up to you, either that or there. Yeah.
What other thing did you want to do?
Well, or was there's also the two broadband things that you folks need to vote on.
Okay.
Let's see. And these I just received this morning and forwarded to you folks.
They're not on the agenda, right?
No, it's added. I mean, I've added it, right? Whatever, it's additional business. Yep.
Let's see. Which, oh, is it?
There are three or four things from Sheila.
Is it the one that says drop cost assistance?
Or? Yes.
Okay. So we have to vote on the insurance agreements? Or?
Yes, there's two things to vote on. First of all, there's to approve the insurance quote. For $8,384 for insuring the little hut and equipment in the hut and lines and all that stuff. It will be, let's see, the town has to authorize it. It will be added to the town's insurance policy. However, the cost will be paid for from the municipal light plant.
That's the $6,280?
Nope, it's $8,384.
Yeah, there's two parts to that quote.
I must have copied off the wrong one.
This one is for the infrastructure and the other is for, it's in there.
Yeah, no, I printed some of it out, but I must have copied out the wrong part. So do you want a motion?
Yeah. Helma, you should tell us what the total amount was again.
$8,384.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to approve the insurance increase in the amount of
$8,384. To be paid from the broadband account, to be paid by broadband.
Yes.
So move.
Okay, second. Further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye. And what was the other thing we had to vote on there?
Okay, the other thing came in the same email, a separate attachment. It's basically a letter from the select board to Bill Ennin, the last mile liaison.
Yeah.
And basically requesting, requesting the reimbursement.
Yeah, yeah, I see that. Because we've reached our 70%.
Yes.
All right, so entertain a motion to issue the letter to Bill Ennen requesting the drop reimbursement from the state.
So move.
Second, any discussion? Hilma, you would have to put this on our letterhead, and it's Robin, I guess, is the only one that's on it to sign. So.
That's correct.
Okay. So, all in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
In the waiting room?
There's people in the waiting room. I am so sorry.
Okay. There.
Okay, now everybody's in.
All right, we have every, oh, okay, great. So it's 7:32, so we can begin the meeting with the regionalization study team. So who goes first?
Let me just see exactly who's here, Brian. Are both Barb and Bob here?
Barbara's here. It says Sue, but I imagine it's Bob.
Hi, Sue. I'm willing to try to lay this out for you guys. What it is that since we are not going to be continuing with regionalization with Hallamont, we do need to have a connection within the regional district that we are members of and have been for its entire existence, Mohawk Trail. And the decision was made to connect with the Coleraine Central School as the designated kind of partner, is what I've been calling it, for the town of Heath. Colerain Central would be the school where our children are guaranteed seats, no question about it, and it is the school to which transportation would be provided for any children in Heath, all children in Heath for that matter. The question that is before us this evening is that a part of the regional school district agreement, the Mohawk Trail agreement, involves how do you cover capital costs? And in general, each town who has a school either designated specifically to them or that they're partnered with contributes to the capital costs of that school, i.e. Sanderson Academy sits in Ashfield. Ashfield and Plainfield work together for forever and a day. And Plainfield, of course, pays a portion of the capital costs. So within the Mohawk Trail agreement, it would make sense for Heath to be contributing to future capital costs at the Coleraine Central School, because that's the school where we know our kids are going to have seats and be transported to.
Can I interrupt you for a second? Hilma, I think there's still people in the waiting room.
Oh, oops.
Okay. We can continue, Budge. Sorry. Okay.
No, sorry. No, I don't see the waiting room, Brian. Right. So the easiest way for us to work this out would be for the select boards of Coleraine and Heath to have a joint meeting, and certainly the regionalization study team, and I'm sure Kate, the school committee rep from Coleraine would join in, and just talk it over. Because what will need to be known for the school district is what's the acceptable language that both towns would be comfortable with to put into the revisions to the regional school district agreement. You know, it's going to say that Heath children can or will attend Coleraine Central School. But it's also going to have some language about that capital cost piece. My suggestion is the capital cost sharing arrangements are pretty straightforward and pretty common throughout the Commonwealth. You base it on a 5-year average of enrollment, and that's your percentage, your town's percentage. And that works. The challenge that we have is we don't have a 5-year rolling average of attendance at Coleraine Central School. So what I would suggest is that an interim set of language be put in there that says, you know, year one, it's that percentage. And you build it until you got a 5-year record, and then you go with the 5-year record. At this moment, there is no outstanding debt. That was a concern that I had, was that I didn't want to suggest to the town of Heath that we accept outstanding debt that the town of Heath had never had a chance to approve. But there is no outstanding debt right now. The future capital projects for Coleraine are focused primarily on parking lot, asphalt, engineering studies to get the drainage right, and then getting that work done. The capital project workings group that I've been a part of, I've got a ballpark figure, and please do not say that this is locked in stone, a ballpark of somewhere in the $100,000 range for this overall project. That would be something that would be brought to voters maybe as early as this year's town meetings. Debt service would not incur until FY24, because we're building the FY23 budgets right now. But what the town of Coleraine will need to understand is that it's not only their decision now. They would have another town whose vote counts in approving that type of a project. So what we need is to have the two select boards just have a conversation. Does this, you use the basic approach that's been used in the past? Understand you have to phase in the 5-year rolling average and move forward from there. And then the district can finalize the language, bring the votes forward for town meeting, and go. I hope that's not too complicated and confusing and wandering around, but none of what we've been doing has been easy and straightforward. It is only complicated and wandering around.
This might be the easiest thing you've done.
Oh, gee, thanks, Sue.
Is this the same kind of agreement that Buckland Shelburne has?
Absolutely.
Do they both those? Okay, all right. that would be good to point out, you know, for people in selling the idea.
Both towns would need to approve for any project to move forward. That's just the way it works.
Yeah.
I see
Bob had his hand up.
Just a quick thing. We'd love to be able to say what the percentage would be for the first year. But, you know, we won't know until we know what number of Heath kids are going to end up going to Coleraine. You know, we don't even want to venture a guess, and we know that's kind of sticky, but there really isn't a way to know. We're trying to get parents to commit as soon as we possibly can, but we can't tell you, oh, well, it would be 7% or 12%, or because we don't know. No, you know, and even in the second year, how many people are going to choose to have their kids go to Coleraine? But we still have to be able to make sure we can provide a seat and busing. And so that's what we have to do to ensure that we can do that. We have to enter an agreement with Coleraine.
Sue, you had a question.
Yeah, well, you gave a really rough guesstimate of 100,000, I think I understood you to say, for the projects that you knew that were coming up. So our percentage of that, we would be taking a percentage of that. That's not our percentage, that or what you think our percentage would be. So that if we were 10% of their population, then we would be paying $10,000 out of that 100. Right, okay. I just wanna make sure I understood the numbers you were.
So I'll piggyback on what my good friend Bob has said here. We don't know the numbers.
I just wanted to make sure I knew.
Right. If I look at the number of students that I know rely on district transportation, mm-hmm. and I think about maybe those kids whose families live in the northeastern corner of Heath and might drive their kids to Hallamont, but now might choose to drive them to Coleraine, might be a number of like 25 kids. Given the current population of Coleraine Central School, that would be somewhere in the 20%,
yep.
maybe 25% of the overall population. Mm-hmm. But please, please, please understand, those are very, very loose numbers that I'm using.
Right, yes.
Just so we have a reference point to talk about.
And we don't know what's going to happen at Hallamont. So, I mean, that's another big question for everybody right now.
Yep.
What will be available there for anybody? So.
Yep. There are a lot of questions in mm-hmm. our schools right now, and it's really unfortunate. But
sure is.
If I would just, you know, if the select board is comfortable getting in touch with Coleraine select board and just having a conversation about, hey, do you guys agree that the language that we put into the regional agreement amendment is 5-year rolling average with a clause that says until there are 5 years, we go year by year and adjust it year by year. The adjustment is awkward in terms of fiscal planning. I understand that, but I don't have a better way of getting around that. That's just.
Is there a timeline for when this language is needed?
School committee would need to vote on this language by the end of February, because it would be sent to towns to include in their town meeting warrants, and towns like to receive this in March. So in order to, you know, work around that timeline. So a meeting somewhere in the early middle part of January with the Coleraine Select Board. I mean, I would hope this is kind of straightforward and easy. But I don't know. I'm stupid to hope that anything that I have to deal with is ever straightforward or easy. It never is. But this would be nice if it was.
Barbara was had a yes. Something to say. Barbara?
Yes. So hi, everyone. Merry almost Christmas. And thank you for having us this evening to bring forth this about the capital debt percentage going forward. And also, I wanted to mention something else that has come about, which I would like to kind of intertwine them together, because I think they can come together. So everything Budge just laid out was you know, we planned on what we were going to bring forth to you and explain it to you. And he did a beautiful job laying it out. And I agree, Sue. I feel like we're at the easier portion of this past, you know, almost a year now, looking through all of this. So it's like, to me, it's like the loose ends that we're coming up with. So the capital debt percentage portion of Coleraine and Heath coming together in this partnership in the whole regional agreement is kind of one of the only remaining loose ends, like on the regional agreement. I would like to encourage our town and select board to not only definitely reach out, but to really connect with Coleraine's select board and or FinComs, join them together and have the dialogue before the language, before the committee has to vote on it, way before all town meetings. So we're all on the same page and we're all really comfortable with what's going forward, or at least we've been heard about what we're comfortable with. I don't get the sense that anyone has free money laying around. So every time we talk about costs and percentages, you know, it's incredibly difficult to add more costs. But the beautiful part about going into this partnership with a zero prior outstanding debt, I personally was absolutely thrilled at that. There's not a better starting point than zero. And then paving the way forward, my wish is to see Heath and Coleraine work in harmony as much as humanly possible after witnessing things like Holly and Charlemont being on different pages or not knowing how the other would respond to major decisions in one school building affecting all of the students. So, you know, we can use that as an example that we're not always going to be in agreement, the two towns, but we really have to hold the goal of, you know, we can argue about, does a parking lot need to be paved? But we do need to hold the goal that the school is functioning the best it can for its students, and obviously with the staff involved and what we have and with our budgets, et cetera, going forward. So I'm going to jump over to, I believe I'll credit Budge. This idea I came up with, you know, have a hosting, there's an open house that's going to be hosted at Coleraine Central that will welcome Heath families. And it is now officially on the calendar. To get it on the calendar, we've been speaking at the study team. I believe it was a constituent who brought up the idea to Budge. You can nod. I think that was the origin. But we took it, we rolled with it. It's a great idea. We've got it going on in time before budget season. And, you know, after the holidays where families may have a breather to kind of think things through and then maybe make their decisions earlier versus later last minute as the schools are preparing for enrollment changes and staff changes. So the official date is now on the calendar at Tuesday, January 25th at Coleraine Central, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And in addition to that, I was able to speak to Helma. I'd like to thank her. She is currently trying to assemble a mini list of not all Heath resident addresses, but the residents who have a student in fifth grade or below, all the way down to birth is what I asked for. So we can have this constituency on our radar, and we will be sending out from Postal Service, a regular old-fashioned mailer to the mailboxes of these families. The stamps are being covered by the 191 grant, and we will have that out within the next few weeks in enough time to not only give a final clarification and communication to the families who may have missed all of the headlines, all of the emails, and anything else we've sent out. The Heath Herald had something, the newspapers had something, but that one final, you know, have we reached everyone, and hopefully reach everyone. And also an invitation to the open house at Colerain Central to tour the facility, meet the principal, the superintendent will be there. The three of us on the study team will be there. We would love to see you guys there. That was Hilma said, what a great idea. So I'm going to throw that back on her town coordinator. I'd love to see her there. And what an, just thinking this through out loud tonight, it's a great opportunity. If we want to invite Colerain Select Board also, it could be maybe something like a mini meeting before the open house or after the open house, where we actually could maybe get some of that communication going. If it isn't happening before then, maybe that's an opportunity in that location and space to actually, for you guys to see the condition of the building, ask your questions before we go into actually writing a regional agreement, you know, interim policy that all of the towns are voting on. So just throwing that out there, that maybe somehow that combines. Also, if families are not available to tour Colerain, if they have any interest on that evening, Amy Lumen, the principal of Colerain, is putting her number out there, the school number, that she would be available for any family to reach out and tour directly. So that will be part of the invitation. One of the reasons we're doing this is we are incredibly aware of the decisions of this past year maybe affecting families in this transitional time, that, you know, to you all of a sudden don't have a bus for your elementary school child. There's clearly upheaval down at the other school, which at this point, you know, Budge still has a position repping at their meetings. I don't really go to their meetings now, but I watch along and I'm aware of what's happening. But if there's any family, I personally do not want families to feel that we just made a decision and walked away. You know, I would like to end our study team on a platform that we were open and welcoming to at least showing the families who are going to be affected a path of the who, what, where, when, and how, you know, and this is where and why. So they have that information to make these incredibly difficult decisions and important decisions for their family. So I would encourage you to maybe invite that, you know, I'll speak to Amy to maybe invite her select board, or Kate on behalf of school committee can be a pivotal point to invite Colerain select board. I'm happy to throw that email over to Kate Barrows. And it just, everybody, my hope is that we can work together, the two towns, better than some things that I have witnessed in my time at committee. And then going forward, the debts are taken one at a time, as we know. So, you know, the asphalt project has been, I think, in discussion. It budges on the on the building committee, but it's been in discussion for some time. So it's not like a new project, but each project that would come across one at a time, just like they do at every all town meeting. So I think that's, unless you had any questions for me, I think that's pretty much all I needed to bring up.
All right, thanks, Barbara. If we're gonna meet with the select board from Coleraine, I think we need like a framework of talking points that I don't feel competent to generate. I mean, I know Budge mentioned about the, you know, percentage, the plan of the year, you know, basing things on a year, yearly percentage for 5 years. But I still think we need some comparison to the agreement that is at Buckland Shelburne or something, just someplace to start. And I don't know if your committee can generate something like that, or if the central office can assist with that.
Brian, I would say that the central office can provide that language. The language is incredibly standard language. It's exactly the language that is used in Buckland and Shelburne. Ashfield and Plainfield use exactly the same language, except they do have a caveat in there that they have some little tweak in their formula that involves actual town population, not just enrollment data. But the standard everywhere is a 5-year rolling average of your enrollment in the school. And that percentage is the percentage that your town pays for capital debt. I'm willing to ask the central office to just see if Russell Dupre can just throw some basic language out. But this is really, it is much more straightforward than you might think.
Well, good. That's what I need.
Yeah. So I will reach out to central office to get just a copy of some very basic language that covers that arrangement. And then the tweak will have to be what we do for the 5 years it takes to build a 5-year rolling average. But if that makes sense to everybody, including the town of Coleraine, then sure.
I think Bob, were you wanting to say something, or? Well, if you want to talk, then Barbara's going to talk.
I, you know what, Budge, I apologize for not bringing it up at earlier meetings, but it just popped into my head. Would Ken Rock have some experience in what a district, a newly formed capital debt percentage prior to the 5-year enrollment being available? Maybe we could reach out to Ken to see if he's witnessed that before and how other towns handled the prior to 5 years on a structure. And maybe yes, maybe no, but he may have seen it in his experience.
That might be the case, Barbara. I don't know. I mean, it seems to me pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. You know, year one, it's what you got for enrollment for year one. The next year, you average your 2-year enrollment. It seems, maybe I'm just being very simplistic, but it seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, and if there were other questions, we could always tap into him.
Yep.
All right.
Looking.
My question is the select board comfortable with the suggestion to reach out to the Coleraine select board, schedule a meeting, and just talk about this? And if everyone's in agreement that, yep, that's the sensible thing to do, then we tell Mohawk Trail and Russell Dupre, yep, that's the language to use, and we move forward. That's what we're really looking for.
That sounds reasonable to me. Sue, did you have anything you wanted to?
No, it makes a lot of sense. We need to start a relationship going between our two towns, a more formal relationship. And actually, we already have one with them because of the fire department and other connections we've already got with Coleraine. So this is just a good chance to build on that.
Yeah. The ambulance as well.
Mm-hmm. Hilma?
I will take the initiative to reach out to the town administrator in Coleraine and ask if the two boards can set up a meeting. And I will also mention that our school committee members or member will be getting talking points, whatever, getting information about what in particular the two select boards need to discuss.
Okay. So I guess we've got our marching orders. Is there anything anyone else had to say on the subject?
Just a quick thing, Brian. The 191 grant ends at the end of the month. I'm going to write a report for Michelle Griffith, but you actually signed the original grant. And so I'm not going to send anything until I run it past my two cohorts and you as well. Then I'll send it off.
Yeah, it's funny that came up in the email when I was searching the email where we were doing this before, and yes. I sent a response. And I realized that happened last year.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, if you guys are all set, I'm more than happy to be done for the food distribution day, and I'm exhausted.
All right. Time to kick back.
Yeah.
Thanks, Budge. Good night. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Thank Christmas. You.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Finished up with the municipal light plant business. Yeah, okay.
Green communities, Brian.
I knew we were going to do that. Well, Alyssa is gone now. I don't know, where she went, but I didn't find out about that until I sent an email to ask her a question. Apparently our quarterly report was not submitted, that the new person, Allison Gage, is working on that now. The big news is we had a meeting last week, or the week before, I guess, with the Energy Advisory Committee, and we had a report from the engineer who is the lead person from Rise Engineering, who is the expediter for this project, who informed us that the price that he was working on, which was not complete, was in the mid 200,000s, which is way beyond what this particular expediter program allows, and which is much higher than what the original budget was. It exceeds what we have available in the Green Communities grant anyway. So I had asked him about if there was any part of that project that could be done, and he said no, that everything, you have to do the energy recovery system in addition to anything you do with heating or cooling. So there are three parts to the project, and none of them could be expedited for under $100,000. So that pretty much means that is dead in the water. So there's no advantage to replacing the furnace that's there. I won't say there's no advantage, but it's not something that green communities would necessarily approve just to replace in kind. So I reached out to try to find out who was covering for Alyssa, and finally got a call today from Allison Gage. And she said she would be following up on all of this, and she would be looking at our grant. We have a list of eligible projects that we put together, and she would be reviewing those over the course of the next couple of weeks. And she was also meeting with Mark Rabinsky, who's I forget the name of the office, the energy office for the state. Anyway, he covers Western Mass. And she was going to talk to him about how we can revise our project or our submission. Because we have a number of projects that haven't been addressed, and we could put together something else to spend down the designation grant. We did manage to completely insulate the community hall, so that was a help, and that will have a reasonable payback on it. But you know, $250,000 would take us centuries to the payback would be in centuries. So anyway, as soon as Allison gets back to me, then I'll maybe have something more substantive to offer in terms of the direction that we could take. But right now that project is dead. Questions?
Is part of the reason it's so high because of the costs for everything right now are so high?
Yes. Well, the equipment costs have escalated with the, the COVID, the supply chain issues and COVID restrictions have interrupted or have increased the cost of the equipment. He said that the ductwork problem too was very complicated because you have this heat recovery system in there as well as, you know, heating and air conditioning that have to be separated between the two floors. And it's kind of a jerry-rigged situation there now where you just have two runs of ducts running along the sides of the building with a hole in the top and a hole in the bottom. And the way that air was controlled on to keep the upper floor cooler was to put pieces of carpet over it. And that doesn't meet the standards of the industry right now. So anyway, that it still works. I mean, we still can heat the building, and it's will require less heat as a result of having done the insulation project. The window issue is still there with us, and there are two approaches. One is to go with a replacement window, and the other was to try to rebuild the window and put storms on. The problem with that is you still have these, you know, triple track storm windows that you're relying on for your ventilation in the building. And it's a huge pane of glass to put up. It has been problematic in the past and has caused broken windows. So, I mean, from a user standpoint, replacement windows would be better, in my opinion, than trying to rebuild those and put storms on them. because the insulating portion of the window is within the sash that you're operating. The only thing you have to operate, put in or take out is the screen. So, but anyway, that's another discussion, and that's not that's something that part of could be covered by the Green Communities grant if it was only storm windows. The Green Communities grant will not cover either rebuilding or replacing windows. But that would have to be a special project. Anyway, we'll talk about that further.
All right.
All right. The town coordinator report.
Jacobs Road generator. Over the past 2 weeks, the highway department, the cement pad got set. Department came and lifted the generator into place. The electrician came last Friday. He finished the hookup work. So that part is all done. And so the only remaining work is the installation and hookup of the propane tanks and actually getting the generator fired. Let's see, in terms of the Hilltown Youth Performing Arts, you know, a lot of back and forth communication with Jonathan Diamond, making little changes to the lease, sending it to town council, just, you know, a lot of back and forth. I think, you know, pending the final review by you folks, I think we have a deal. let's see, I've also had discussions with Tim about different things that needed to happen and take place and whatever. He has painted a line on the floor in the equipment closet at my request. And it's basically kind of a, well, I hate to say, don't step over the line. Don't leave your stuff over the line. Just like to delineate where the open walkway has to be in order to get to the electronics room, in order to get through.
Through the boiler. I say to the boiler room is also there.
Oh, okay. Yes, the boiler room. And everything, just to make it clear that, you know, this area has to stay free of any kind of equipment or whatever. I also talked to him in terms of like different things like furniture and bathrooms and that kind of stuff. And he is in complete agreement that all bathrooms need to stay public bathrooms. Basically, you know, we have, it's like the building is being used by a lot of different entities at this point in time. So let's see, what else? I asked him to contact a plumber to give us a quote about replacing the preschool's toilet with a full-size toilet and actually raising the level of the sink up to adult level. So that's in the process. A lot of correspondence with town council in regards to the different situations that the town is having to deal with right now. I think you folks, are aware of, you know, the incident that Jeff had with damage to the backhoe. And anyway, he received notification from Maya that based on the appraisal of the damage, that the town is receiving payment in the amount of $3,383.96. The appraisal would have come in $500 higher than that because we have a $500 deductible. But and then last Thursday, as I said earlier, I met with the two guys from Northeast IT for the annual review. Basically, the work that was included under the grant, the CCC grant, has all been completed. One of the things that they talked about, or we talked about, was basically the upcoming needs. Like, for example, Microsoft is going to soon be releasing, or just starting to release, a new version of Windows. In 2025, they will no longer be supporting the version that all the computers have now, which means that, and because of that, plus the aging of electronics, basically means that all the town's computers are going to need to be replaced in the next 4 years. I asked them, like, if they had a recommendation of like, amount to say budget, if we were going to start budgeting and setting aside some money each year, like into a stabilization account or something. And their recommendation was if the town could set aside $5,000 a year. So, that's just what they suggested.
That's information that should probably go to FinCom, since we have Alice and Bob here. They can carry that forward.
Yes. And they are supposed to be sending, like, notes of the meeting that we actually had that will have that information in it. But yes. And then the other thing, which didn't get into my typed report, but this year, coming up very soon, we have both Christmas and New Year's Day on Saturdays. So Jeff has talked with Ken Erhol about the transfer station. What they came up with is that the transfer station would be closed this weekend entirely. Ken could not. I asked Ken, you know, could he work either Friday the 24th or Sunday the 26th. Ken cannot work any of those 3 days. So what we came up with is the transfer station would be open Wednesday, December 29th, which would be usual. And then it would also be open Sunday, January 2nd, instead of the Saturday, if that's acceptable to you folks. And it's kind of, if it's not acceptable, you'll have to figure out, an alternative.
Yeah, I guess it's acceptable to me.
Otherwise, we're going to have to do the job.
Yes, right.
That thing, I learned.
Yes, so, and what I'll do is, with the information, Brian, you didn't hear this, but the Board of Health is going to write up a little information that they want on a reverse 911 call, And so I told Gene Garland before you joined the meeting that I had some information that needed to get out there. So it'll all be combined into one phone message.
Okay, great. What is the Christmas holiday for town employees? Is it Friday or Monday?
It's Friday.
And the next question is, since we used to give the, like Christmas Eve or something, people would take off in the afternoon and we have a Christmas party and all that. And I was wondering, because of the COVID thing, if we shouldn't just let people go at noon on Thursday, you know, because we can't do the party.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be my suggestion.
Sure.
Some compensation.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Best to weigh in on this.
Do we need to vote that?
Yeah, I would think so.
I move that we let the town employees have from noon Thursday off for the Christmas holiday.
And I'll second that. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Okay. So that's my report for this week.
All right. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mail.
Is there anything more to say about the Hilltown? I mean, that's on our agenda too, about the Hilltown Theater.
That needs to be done according to town council. It should be done in executive session.
Okay.
Nothing more for open meeting at this point.
All right. Okay, the mail is next. The first part was just the Northeast quote for the new server. What is the next one about, Hilma? The next letter, what says?
Oh, from me?
Well,
we covered all that. I had posed those questions to Tom ahead of time.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, you covered all that in the joint meeting.
Okay. I didn't have time to look at this because it came so late. So.
Yes.
And then there's a note from Alice here.
That's something we have to make a decision on. Does that get pushed to the next meeting?
It seems like that would be good. So
it should go on the next agenda?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like something that must have been discussed in the past that I don't know if there's records of it in the minutes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll do that at the next meeting. And then with a note from Council on Aging of a request for use of one of the rooms at 18 Jacobs Road.
So does that go to the next agenda?
Yeah, I think we should. We need to draw some more people in to talk about that. I next one is state a library award that was missed apparently not by the fault of the library committee, but the mistake at the state. And
does that have any budgetary impact that we have to be concerned with, or is just going to work out?
Part of the money that comes to the town, but it's just related, I guess.
The town will still receive the money. It will be delayed.
Yeah.
Because of their oversight, because of the state's oversight or whatever. Yeah.
All right. So that's all the mail. There's no other mail, right? That's
it.
Okay. Is that everything we need to cover except for the executive session?
Next meetings?
Next meetings. So you said you had already determined you will not have a meeting next week. It was suggested that you meet January 4th. Robin, does not believe she will be back for January 4th, but there's probably going to be some things here and there that should be taken care of, would be my guess.
Yeah, I think we should hold the meeting. So do we want to, I guess that means we should push off the discussion about the assessors.
Well, if it's all right, I'll consult with Robin, and if it's, you know, that she wants to give an opinion to have shared at the meeting.
Okay.
Then it could go ahead and be on the agenda.
All right.
If that's all right.
Yeah. Okay, there was a one issue. I don't know if we've handled this in the past, but a question about whether or not the screens should be taken in for the winter, because all those screens are re-screened. Mm-hmm. King Jacobs Road, and it might be a good idea to have them taken in for the winter. Okay. Can you coordinate that with, if Tim needs assistance with that, I'm sure that we can find some help.
Okay, I will talk to Tim about it.
Okay.
So back to the meetings, are we gonna go 2 weeks and do one on the 18th? I saw something about the broadband wanting to meet with us then, right?
Yes. Yes, broadband has some other points of discussion, I guess, more so than, you know, tonight's matters needed to be taken care of, and it was pretty cut and dried, but they have some other matters that are more a two-board discussion. So, I had told them January 18th.
Okay, is that something the finance committee?
The finance committee got invited as well, which I will do, because part of it was a financial update.
All right.
Yeah.
And I think some, perhaps, you know, envisioning the future.
Okay. That takes care of next meeting and the meeting after. Will Robin be back by the 18th?
Or? Yes.
Okay.
Yes, she will be. She wasn't exactly sure when she would get back in town.
Yeah.
It may be late on January 3rd. It may not be till January 4th.
Okay. So. Well, we'll carry on.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get her opinion about the assessor issue. And now, do we need to do the executive session?
Yes, please.
So, am I reading this, or is, I guess I'm reading this. We're going to return to the regular meeting.
And open then we're session, gonna, yep.
So.
But not to conduct other business. We'll return just to go back into another executive session.
All right.
And then we'll just adjourn. We won't be doing more general business.
Okay, so you want to read the, would you like to read the, you haven't had any practice at this. So.
I don't think you should have to practice this stuff for at least 3 years.
So I move that we enter into executive session pursuant to General Law Chapter 30A, Section 21, Paragraph A, Sentence 6, to consider the purchase, exchange, lease, or value of real property if the chair declares, and I so declare, that an open meeting may be, have a detrimental effect on the negotiating position of the public body. And this is for deliberation and strategy for entering a long-term lease of space at 18 Jacobs Road, Municipal Building with Hilltown Youth Recovery Theater. And we will return to open meeting after closing the executive session. So motion to that effect?
So moved. Second. Or second, whichever you want.
All in favor.
Sue, I.
Brian,
Sue Lively, I.
Brian DeVries, aye. Yeah.